This is episode 12 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. This podcast brings you audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. He Descended into Hell, an investigation of the harrowing of hell in the Apostles' Creed by Melanie Nassif. This article first appeared in the print edition of the Christian Research Journal, volume 44, number 4, 2021. For the full text of the article, along with all of its documentations, please go to our website, equip.org. That's EQIP.org.
He Descended to Hell, an investigation of the harrowing of hell in the Apostles' Creed by Melanie Nassif, read by Christina Wintersteller. Where was Jesus between his death and resurrection? Did he really descend into hell, as the Apostles' Creed states? The Apostles' Creed is a foundational statement of faith in church history. It not only outlines Christ's incarnation, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, but it also contains the remarkable phrase, quote, "He descended to hell," unquote. Most churches today affirm this creed, yet the clause remains as divisive now as it first did during the Reformation. In thought, worship, and sermons, believers often skip from Christ's burial to his resurrection, leaving out Holy Saturday. Should this clause be dropped from the creed, or does it faithfully interpret Scripture? Understanding the formation of the Apostles' Creed, the descent clause, and the history of its interpretation will help readers decide for themselves. What is the Apostles' Creed? The Apostles' Creed is one of the oldest Christian statements of faith. Unlike the Nicene Creed or the Chalcedonian definition, the Apostles' Creed was not written or approved by an ecumenical council. Rather, it developed over several hundred years. Its earliest form, the Old Roman Creed, was used liturgically during baptisms and dates back to the 2nd century. Its wording remained quite uniform through the 4th century, when an almost identical form was documented by the Aquilian priest Tyrinius Rufinus. As the Apostles' Creed gained popularity in the West, it was enhanced with several minor additions until the final version appeared in the early 8th century. This finalized Apostles' Creed included several new phrases about the Trinity and the Church, as well as the controversial statement that Christ, quote, "descended to hell," unquote. As noted, most churches today affirm the creed, but the, quote, "harrowing of hell," unquote, has widely differing interpretations. Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics both affirm Christ's descent to hell, but many Reformed and Evangelical Christians deny that such an event occurred. What are the issues that led to these contrasting views? Hell or Hades? In the early centuries of the Creed, quote, "hell," unquote, was synonymous with the Greek Hades and the Hebrew Sheol. In the Old Testament, this place of the dead included both the righteous and the damned. However, following a subsequent linguistic shift, the modern understanding of hell is most synonymous with the Hebrew Gehenna, the area of Sheol that is full of fire, torment, and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 13:42. Therefore, when the Apostles' Creed states that Christ descended to hell, it is affirming that Christ went to the general place of the dead, both the blessed and the damned. Early Church Witnesses. The early church generally held that during the 3 days between his death and resurrection, Christ descended into Hades, freed the righteous dead, and proclaimed his victory over Satan's bondage. Philippians 2:10. This belief found its source in several New Testament references, including Ephesians 4:9, 1 Peter 3:19, and 1 Peter 4:6, which will later be examined. Though the descent clause was absent from the early versions of the Apostles' Creed, the belief in the harrowing of hell was widely accepted by most of the early church fathers: Ignatius of Antioch, Polycarp, Justin Martyr, Tertullian, Cyril of Alexandria, Origen, John Chrysostom, Cyril of Jerusalem, Hilary of Poitiers, Ambrose of Milan, and Gregory Nazianzus, among others. For example, Irenaeus of Lyons, circa 130 to circa 202, in Against Heresies, stated, quote, "It was for this reason, too, that the Lord descended into the regions beneath the earth, preaching his advent there also, and he declared the remission of sins received by those who believe in him," unquote. Clement of Alexandria, circa 150 to circa 211, wrote in the Stromata, quote, Christ preached the gospel to those in the flesh so that they would not be condemned unjustly. So how is it conceivable that he did not, for the same reason, preach the gospel to those who had departed this life before his coming? Unquote. Finally, Augustine, 354 to 430, affirms the descent, contending that Jonah's encounter with the sea monster foretold, quote, that Christ would rise on the third day from the depths of Hades, unquote. Not only was there a consensus patrum, consensus of the fathers, in both the East and the West about Christ's literal descent to hell, the harrowing of hell seems to have been popular among the lay people of the church, as can be seen in ancient liturgies, hymnography, and poetry. The Easter Troparion, a short hymn that likely was in use by the 2nd century and is still sung in Eastern Orthodox churches today, proclaims Christ's victory over hell. Quote, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Unquote. Additionally, a verse from the extensive Paschal hymn of Ephraim the Syrian, circa 306 to 373, reads, quote, Death finished his taunting speech, and our Lord's voice rang out thunderously in Sheol, tearing open each grave one by one. Terrible pangs seized hold of death in Sheol. The dead went forth, and shame covered the living who had hoped they had conquered him who gives life to all. Unquote. Belief in the harrowing of hell was clearly widespread in the early church. How then did so many churches come to reinterpret the clause metaphorically? Impact of the Reformation. During the Reformation, the doctrine of Jesus' descent was one of the foremost Roman Catholic doctrines examined. Interestingly, Martin Luther, 1483 to 1546, affirmed the descent, and it was not until John Calvin, 1509 to 1564, that the clause was questioned. Instead of a literal interpretation, Calvin understood, quote, he descended to hell, unquote, metaphorically, as a reference to Christ's substitutionary atonement. He believed that the phrase indicated Jesus' torment as he suffered on the cross and took on the sin of humanity. After the Reformation, both Reformed and numerous evangelical churches largely denied a literal interpretation of the descent. Today, many evangelical and Reformed churches interpret the clause as a re-emphasis of Christ's death, while other Reformed churches ascribe to Calvin's view. Arguments against the descent. Many Reformed and evangelical churches confess that Christ could not have descended to Hades using both biblical and historical arguments. First, the Bible does not explicitly state that Jesus entered Hades when he died. Ephesians 4:9, 1 Peter 3:19, and 1 Peter 4:6 are not only unclear and open to interpretation, but other Bible verses could be used actually to teach against the descent. For example, when Jesus cried out, quote, "It is finished," unquote, John 19:30, Christ's suffering and separation from the Father were complete. A descent to Hades would only prolong his anguish. Jesus' exclamation, quote, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, unquote, Luke 23:46, is further evidence that his saving work was complete. Where was Christ during the 3 days then? His encouragement to the thief on the cross, quote, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise, unquote, Luke 23:43, suggests that he immediately went to be with the Father in heaven, as all believers do. As for historical evidence against the descent, proponents of this view argue that the Apostles' Creed was not written by a single church council and therefore does not bear the theological weight of an ecumenical creed. Since the descent clause itself does not appear explicitly until the 8th century, it loses credibility. Additionally, in the 4th century, Rufinus stated in his commentary on the Apostles' Creed, quote, He descended into hell is not added in the creed of the Roman Church, neither is it in that of the Oriental churches. It seems to be implied, however, when it is said that he was buried, unquote. This quote could be used to argue that not only was the clause explicitly absent from many churches, but it was mainly synonymous with Christ's death and burial. Thus, Christians who advocate for this position often believe the phrase either reflects an ancient fallacy or re-emphasizes the Lord's suffering, death, and burial. Because of the confusion it causes, some argue that, quote, there would be all gain and no loss if the clause were dropped from the creed once for all, unquote. Arguments for the Descent. Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, and other Christian traditions affirm Christ's descent to Hades. Biblically speaking, one of the most commonly cited references is 1 Peter 3:19, quote, "After being made alive, Christ went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built," unquote. Though Augustine argued that this passage in particular was a reference to Christ preaching through Noah to the unbelievers of his time, this understanding is questionable in light of the chronological narrative of the context. This text seems to indicate that Christ descended into Hades on Easter Saturday and proclaimed his victory over death and the demonic powers to imprison souls. Additionally, given Peter's solemn warning to the living and the dead in 1 Peter 4:5, it should not be assumed that he moves from the physically dead to the spiritually dead in verse 6. In fact, 1 Peter 4:6 reinforces the descent. Quote, "For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they may be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit," unquote. Another example is Romans 10:6 through 7. Quote, "But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows, do not say in your heart, who will go up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead," unquote, NASB. Paul here equates the place of the dead to the abyss. Thus, it is reasonable to interpret this as not only Christ's physical resurrection, but also his resurrection from the place of the dead spirits. Finally, Ephesians 4:9 is often interpreted as Jesus' incarnation. Quote, "What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions?" Unquote. However, since the Greco-Roman culture of Paul's day was teeming with stories of people descending into Hades, it is likely that everyone understood, quote, "lower earthly regions," unquote, as the underworld. Other descent texts include Matthew 12:40, Matthew 27:51 through 52, and Acts 2:31. Additional support for the descent into Hades is found in Scripture's broader witness. For example, throughout the Old Testament, God's people often express hope that the Lord will deliver them from the depths of Sheol, Psalm 88:3, 116:3, something they cannot do themselves. Gregory of Nazianzus famously taught that Christ took on the whole of humanity in order to redeem and heal it. Why, then, would his victory be revealed only to the living and not to the dead, since believers are united to Jesus in both his life and death? Romans 6:3 through 5. Moreover, the weight of the ancient church's witness must be taken into account, given that belief in the descent was nearly universal. Although the commentator Rufinus stated that the descent clause was missing from several churches' creedal definitions, its absence was not due to their rejection of its teaching. The descent was implicit in the preceding phrase, quote, "He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried," unquote. In other words, the early church affirmed Christ's descent by declaring his death and burial, avoiding repetition. As Matthew Emerson has argued, Jesus' atonement and descent may well have been, quote, "part of his exaltation, not his humiliation," unquote. The collective patristic, liturgical, and biblical witnesses all point to Christ's descent. The theology of Holy Saturday has been debated since the Reformation. Many churches today affirm the descent clause in their recitation of the Apostles' Creed, while others want to drop it altogether. To be theologically informed, Christians must weigh the biblical, historical, and theological arguments for and against the clause. Regardless of the outcome, however, both sides can rejoice in Christ's victory over death. In the words of the ancient hymn, quote, "Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death," unquote.
Thank you for listening to the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. You won't want to miss out on the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. Please subscribe to the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI president and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Anagraph, takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. On the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff answers questions from listeners every weekday, and you can catch a Best of the Bible Answer Man on Saturdays. In addition, you won't want to miss out on all new articles and author conversations and interviews on the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features new articles from the Christian Research Journal and conversation with those articles' authors. So please explore our website at equip.org. And thank you for connecting to the Christian Research Institute.